Now let's turn our thoughts to the Word of God and we'll read a passage from the second chapter of 1 John, beginning with verse 8. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. It's reading from verse 8, continuing through verse 11, of the second chapter of 1 John. Now, it's my purpose to discuss today, and maybe for another Sunday or two, the negative and the positive elements in a person's life, and the way that those things will affect your life. There are some folks that are totally negative. They're so swamped in negativism that they can't be cheerful. They can't see any bright side to anything. And sometimes people are so totally negative towards certain individuals that their attitude and disposition toward that individual entirely eliminates them from being any source of encouragement or help or support to that individual. Just negative. All you can see about that person is something bad. However much good he does, all you can see is the bad. Just negative. If that person needs as much help as you think he needs, you should be seeking God earnestly to equip and qualify you to be the help and the succor and the strength and the support to that person that he needs. If he doesn't need all that much help, it's pretty sure he will need some by the time all of his critics get through beating him down, but they won't be in any position to help him any. Negative. Negativism just destroys our usefulness. It destroys our progress. It destroys our efforts to do right because we're so negative that we can't rise above our negativism. Negation is defined as a thing or object of thought consisting in the absence of something positive. Nothing positive there. It is marked by features opposing constructive treatment or development. Now, we're all builders. We're all striving to develop something, and that's a good, profitable, useful spiritual life. I believe everybody in here would strive for that. But negativism, it says, is marked by features opposing constructive treatment. Our building is hindered. Jesus gave us a picture of all of us as builders, wise builders and foolish builders. The wise ones heard His word and they did it. The foolish ones heard His word too, but they didn't do it. But however it be, we're all builders, but sometimes things get in the way of our building. I heard them say out here at this building the other day, well, they said, we've gone about as far as we can go now till the electricians get out of our way. Get their work done. Well, the lack of having that work done was kind of blocking some other progress. It's that way in our lives many times. A lack of having this taken care of or that taken care of is eliminating or blocking our progress in other things that we could be taking care of if those things had been taken care of. Negative, then, always involves the absence of any positive element or influence, whether it be in deed or thought or just an object or element. Negative, then, is defined as the lack or absence of a positive influence or element. The Christian life and experience is a positive something. If you make any success of it, you must be positive. My mother used to say that it just seemed that some folks were born on the negative side of every question. Negative about everything. And people like that fail to see what is accomplished because they see something here that isn't accomplished yet. And they look at that. And that absorbs them till they fail to catch any incentive from the things that are being accomplished. Negative. Folks need to be healed of this the same as you do a headache or tuberculosis or cancer or anything else. You need to be healed of negativism. It's a plague to you. And it's a plague to you that hinders your usefulness. And your positive approach to the issues of life. It's always better to be able to face any problem from a positive viewpoint than from a negative. Approach any of your problems in a negative attitude or disposition, you're 9 points whipped to start with. You got 1 point maybe to build on. Negativism. It's a plague that we need to be healed of, and we ought to be seeking God to heal us of that thing. Now, cold is defined as the lack of heat or warmth. In this case, cold is the negative element, signifying the absence of the positive element, heat. Darkness is defined as the absence of light. The absence of the positive element, light, here identifies darkness as a negative element. And the beginning of the creation of God darkness was over the face of the whole deep, the whole earth. And the Bible said that the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the whole earth. That's the reason it was without form and without usefulness. God couldn't use it in that condition. It was His plan to make this earth a home for humankind. And it created everything else for humankind's convenience and use before He created the human and put him here. But He couldn't use it like that. This identifies darkness as a negative force. And it existed as a block to God's procedure and progress in His plan of creation. The very first step that God took in bringing order out of chaos was to create light. He said, "Let there be light." That's a positive element, a positive force. The spiritual or new creation of God pretty closely follows the pattern of the material or first creation of God. When He finds our souls filled with darkness, that soul, that life, is without form and void. It's of no use so far as God is concerned. His first objective is to get light into it. Eliminate the darkness out of it. He delivered us from the powers of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of God's dear Son. That's the kingdom of light. Get us out of darkness. Get light in our souls. Darkness. Jesus emphasized this in the 9th chapter of John in the 4th verse. He says, "The night cometh when no man can work." Night is a time of darkness. And people can't work in darkness. It takes light. And Jesus was drawing our attention to the thought that darkness is a negative, destructive force in any effort to accomplish any work, do any good. We're instructed in God's Word to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. That's all unfruitful, it's unprofitable, it's negative. And it forms a block to proceeding with any good accomplishments in life. To have darkness in the soul. Now, projecting this same thought into the moral and spiritual realm of life, it shows us that evil is the absence of good. Hate is the absence of love. Sin is the absence of righteousness. Error is the absence of truth. And spiritual darkness is the absence of spiritual light and understanding. Now all of these things, sin, evil, darkness, all of those things are negative forces that's going to hinder the progress of your life and is an impediment to the Spirit in working His works in you to make you a useful instrument in His hands for accomplishing any good purpose in this life. We need to be healed of negativism. Get rid of it. How? In whatever form or to whatever extent that it exists in the heart and life of an individual, it forms just that much impediment and block to the Spirit of the Lord working His works in you. And would I be safe to say, I think I would, that perhaps there is no one in here today, and you too, preacher, but what in some area, to some extent, has some negativism. And we need to be healed of. We need to be delivered from. We need to get out in the clear where we can run for God. We need to rise above those things that weaken us to where we can be good soldiers of Jesus Christ and be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We need to be healed and delivered from those things, however remote they might be or however they may be lurking in this area or that area of our lives. We need to get out from those things and free from them and be lifted up above them that our lives might be free and clear from all impediments of the Spirit working in our lives. He says it's God that worketh in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. Now let us consider a little bit the thought of light and darkness. We've talked about it in a general way. I want to get a little more specific in regard to light and darkness. The main theme of this passage that I read is light and darkness, and it's associated with love and hate. And he that loveth his brother is in the light, and he that hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. Love and hate and darkness and light, they're all associated, connected together here. Now we're told in 2 Timothy the 3rd chapter, verses 16 and 17, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto every good work. God has provided us through His Word with all the instructions and all the elements that we need to make us effective and useful in His service. What we need is to get the roadblocks out of the way. Get rid of the influences and the dispositions and the attitudes of negativism toward life in general, toward individuals, toward everything else, until the Word of God can just go through and thoroughly furnish us to every good work. Equip and qualify us for everything. Now, we read in this 8th verse here, the 2nd chapter, 1 John, the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. God's Word is light. It's the true light, and it's shining Let's open our hearts and let it shine into our hearts. He said, the entrance of thy word giveth light. God's word is light, but it's got to get inside of us to enlighten us, to do us any good. The entrance of thy word giveth light. But if we've got a block up there of something in our attitude or disposition or way of life that's contrary to God's word, we're going to have to remove that thing before the true light will shine. The darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. We have a text in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, and the 2nd verse says, God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Now that was back there in the original creation, when the earth was without form and void and darkness over the face of the whole earth. He commanded the light to shine right out of that darkness, right through that darkness. God could have arranged, if he wanted to, for darkness to chase light, but he arranged it just the other way around, for the light to chase the darkness and to eliminate the darkness. And it's that way in your spiritual life and mine. It's that way in our hearts. God has designed for his light, of his word, to get into our hearts and eliminate the darkness out of our hearts. Chase the darkness out. Darkness and light, he says, what fellowship hath light with darkness? Doesn't have any. We've got to get rid of the darkness before the true light can shine. Our attitudes have to get right. We have to get free and clear from all resentment and bitterness and hatred in any degree, one form or another. Whatever it is, we've got to get rid of all of it. It's darkness before the true light can shine. He says that God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Wanting to get light in your heart. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Just before that, verses 3 and 4 of that 4th chapter of 2 Corinthians, he says, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. Now the devil knows it. God knows it, and I know it. And I hope you know it. That there are people that would be inclined to love Christ and serve Christ if they just properly understood Christ. The devil knows that too. So it's his purpose to throw curves into people's thinking about Christ. And he features Christ to them as an unreasonable person, making unreasonable demands. And that Jordan's a hard road to travel. And that Christ is a hard taskmaster. And people make those complaints. This is just too hard. That's just too hard. I just can't do this. I just can't do that. That's old Nick talking to them folks. He's putting that kind of ideas in their minds. The god of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them, and they'd be saved. He said in the 12th chapter of Romans, verse 2, that this is a reasonable service. Whatever God requires of you and me is reasonable. It's right. Satan will say, that's unreasonable. That's right contrary to human thinking, and it is. A lot of it is. God hasn't set up a human system here. He set up a divine and a spiritual system. And it isn't according to human thinking. But the devil will tell you, well, that's just contrary to human nature. It is contrary to human nature. In order for you and me to live this gospel as it's set forth in the New Testament, we must be partakers of His divine nature. He says through that we escape the corruption that's in the world through lust. We escape from those things by being made a partaker of His divine nature. But the devil just keeps, he's the god of this world. He loves to play God to people. And he keeps throwing curves in the people's minds about how unreasonable Christ is, what a hard taskmaster he is, what a hard road Jordan is to travel, and all those kind of things, when actually, if we could just see Christ in His love and in His glory and in His beauty and in His compassion and pity toward His creatures, Christ is a lovable person. He'll bear acquaintance. The better you know Him, the more you'll love Him. And the devil knows that if the light of the glorious gospel of Christ could shine in on folks and dispel their darkness and fill their souls with light and truth and knowledge and understanding of God's will and of God's graciousness and of God's love toward them, they'd flock to it. This whole world would flock to it if they just had a right understanding of Christ. The devil knows it, so he blinds our minds, darkens our souls, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. He knows they'd be saved. The world would flock to it and everybody would be saved if they just understood Christ right. Same way with the truth. He tries to fill our souls with negative thoughts about the truth. But the truth's all positive. We need to get rid of our negative ideas. We're plagued with them. The truth is all positive. And it doesn't come into our lives to constrict our lives. It comes into our lives to liberate us and expand us and set us free from the beggarly elements of the self life and the world life and flesh life and all those things that have got us bound up and constricted. Hadn't been very long ago I told you about the man that had spent 20 some years in prison. And he was finally released and given his liberty. But he got out and got to facing the world, and the world had changed so much in that 20 years or so that he'd been in prison that he just couldn't adjust to it and he couldn't face up to it, and said in a few days he showed up back at the warden's office requesting to be readmitted to prison. Well, was that because prison life was a normal way of life? It is just because he had become so adjusted to it that he couldn't adjust to freedom and the outside world, so he goes back and he wants to get in there what he's used to. That's the way people are. That's the way we are spiritually. We get so accustomed to our way of life. If we're living our lives in sinful ways, we get so accustomed to that way of life that it becomes difficult for us to adjust to the free, broad expanse of the Spirit in our lives. And we just go back to what we come from. Many people do. Folks, we've got to get healed of those kind of things. We've got to get liberated. He says in Colossians 1:13 that He delivered us out of the kingdom of darkness, translated us into the kingdom of God's dear Son. We have a case in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 30. Now this was in regard to the Lord's Supper, and it's one of the most sacred services of the church. Now, remember what I said. And I say this every year in camp meeting when we have that service, that it hurts me deeply that the saints don't make their plans to be there for that service. But it seems that if they're there for all the other services, if they've got any shopping or anywhere to go or anything to do, they do it when that service comes up. That hurts me deeply. It's one of the most sacred services of the church. We ought to put forth all effort to be there, because we don't do this very often, and it has a real effect upon us, upon our togetherness with one another and our togetherness with Christ. That's the objective of it. He didn't give us these ordinances just to be putting in time and something to do, but there's an objective in it. All right, this that I'm going to say then was in regard to that service. And Paul was giving them instructions about that service. And in the course of his instructions, he said that for this cause, he spoke of eating and drinking unworthily, partaking of these emblems of Christ's body and Christ's blood unworthily, eating and drinking damnation to our own soul. And he concluded by saying, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Why? Because they didn't discern something. Said, not discerning the Lord's body. They didn't discern what it meant. It was a form to them. They were going through with it, but didn't discern what it meant, and they went right on and died anyway, doing exactly what God told them to do. I've met people in my time that were down spiritually, and they'd say, I don't know how come, I don't know how I got there, I just... I've been doing this and doing that, and the Bible says to do this, and the Bible says to do that, and I've been doing it all, and I don't know how I got down here. It's a lack of discerning something, maybe. Doing things from the heart. Doing things in the Spirit. Anything that you and I do, as a matter of form, it's going to hurt us. Even if it's scriptural. Even if it's what God's Word said to do, it's going to hurt us, anything that we do as a matter of form. And many people are just kind of going through life living like the saints. Kind of falling out the pattern that they see. Well, they ought to do that. That's all right up to a point. But if that's as far as it goes, it's not going to produce any good spiritual edification and upbuilding and food for your soul to do it that way. You must seek to do whatever you do heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Now, anything, these folks had this problem. Well, my time's up here. I won't go any further into that at this time, but we will just submit this and trust the Lord to help you to consider what I say and give you understanding in all things. Amen.